Good morning, and welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship's virtual Sunday service. We are affectionately also known as WOOF, and our congregants are sometimes referred to as WOOFers. You'll be meeting some of them this morning. My name is Salima Mawson. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my privilege to be part of this morning's exploration of the possibilities that the addition of an eighth principle might bring to our community. Our guest speaker, storyteller Sheila Arnold, will share thoughts about how meeting on the other side invites us, encourages us to keep on moving forward, to love loudly and boldly, never turning back. I encourage you to check the announcements in your order of service to see what else is happening this week, and especially to join us for our virtual coffee hour at 11:30, when we will check in with each other, share our joys and sorrows, and talk about today's service. Guest speaker Sheila Arnold will be joining us from Virginia, and we really hope that you'll be with us for that conversation. If this is your first time with us and you don't have an order of service but would like to know more about how we stay connected during this time of social distancing, don't hesitate to get in touch with our congregational administrator, whose contact information will be on your screen. So, whoever and wherever you are at this moment, we want you to know that you are welcome here. Whatever your age or abilities, color of your skin, where you were born, whomever you love, or how you identify your gender, if you do, whatever your spiritual practices may be, or if you have none, we are glad that you're with us this morning. All of us local to this virtual community of conscience and compassion. So, without further ado, please enter, rejoice, and come in.
Today, our chalice lighting is from the Reverend Nancy McDonald Ladd. Let our hopefulness mingle with our conviction. Let our willingness to love beyond our expectations or experience break our long-held barriers. Let our willingness to be honest about the hardest questions open us to new truths. May there truly be more love with no labels, and no binary, and no preface, and no qualification, and no arithmetic, and no limit. May there be more love to liberate us all, and may we keep on today and every day until we find it and share it inch by precious inch with one another and with the world. And please join with me in our words of affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
Connections are made slowly. Sometimes they grow underground.
You cannot tell always by looking what is happening.
More than half the tree is spread out in the soil under your feet.
Penetrate quietly as the earthworm that blows no trumpet.
Fight persistently as the creeper that brings down the tree.
Spread like the squash plant that overruns the garden.
Gnaw in the dark and use the sun to make sure.
Weave real connections, create real nodes, build real houses.
Live a life you can endure. Make love that is loving.
Keep tangling and interweaving and taking more in. A thicket and bramble wilderness to the outside, but to us, interconnected with rabbit runs and burrows and lairs.
Live as if you liked yourself, and it may happen.
Reach out. Keep reaching out. Keep bringing in.
This is how we are going to live for a long time, not always.
For every gardener knows that after the digging, after the planting, after the long season of tending and growth, the harvest comes.
The pigeon had always seen the ant as just a squirming little thing on the ground. And the ant had always seen the pigeon as a potential predator, and certainly quite loud. Well, the pigeon lived in the tree, and the ant lived on the ground, and they didn't try to spend any time around each other. One day, there was a hunter who came in the woods. He crept along silently. He was looking for pigeons to hunt. And as he looked for pigeons to hunt, he quietly looked around a bush, and there was the pigeon in the tree. He took aim with his gun towards the pigeon. But the ant saw him. And although the ant didn't really even know the pigeon, it cared for the pigeon. And so quick as a whip, the ant went up the pants leg of the hunter and bit him. The hunter dropped his gun on the ground. He wiped off his leg, and out came the ant tumbling down to the ground, but still perfectly okay. And the bird, the pigeon, having seen what had happened, flew away. Well, the next day, there was the pigeon in the tree and the ant still on the ground, not paying much time to each other. The ant was carrying something heavy on its back. And it realized that the way that things were, that there was water that was lifting up. There was water on the ground, and the rain had come down, and now to get back to its home, it had to cross the puddle, which was just a puddle to the pigeon, but was like a river to the ant. From above, the pigeon saw the situation, shook the branch on the tree, and a leaf came down into the water, close to the ant. The ant climbed on the leaf and went across that puddle that to him was like an ocean to the other side and got off. He didn't know how that leaf got there. But he was grateful that someone was watching out for him. The next day, the pigeon and the ant were in their places. And that day, the pigeon flew down onto the branch, and as he did, the branch shook and a leaf came down. The ant, seeing the leaf coming down, now knew the pigeon had seen him. And so he looked up.
"Thank you."
And the pigeon looked down. "And thank you for my life today." The pigeon and ant didn't spend much more time with each other, but they never forgot. They always kept their eyes open toward each other. Shouldn't we all?
Sometimes I'm right, and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my songs. Butcher, the baker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in.
As we prepare to enter a time and space of quiet reflection, let us consider these words gleaned from the poem Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings by America's first Native American poet laureate, Joy Harjo. Recognize whose lands these are on which we stand. Ask the deer, turtle, and the crane. Make sure the spirits of these lands are respected and treated with goodwill. The land is a being who remembers everything. You cannot legislate music to stop at political boundaries, or poetry, or art, or anything that is of value or matters in this world and the next world. This is about getting to know each other, to jump into a fierce understanding together.
Sheila Arnold, and I'm a professional storyteller and performer that lives in Hampton, Virginia. I'm so glad to be with West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship on this special day, on this Sunday, September 26th. I'd like to start with just a small story about my son. When my son was just finishing up college at DePaul University in Chicago, Illinois, he decided that he wanted to move to the West Coast. Specifically, he wanted to move to Portland, Oregon. I had been doing storytelling for quite a while at that time, and I knew that he was thinking that Portland was a city just like Chicago, or like Washington, D.C., where we didn't live too far from, and that he had a certain image in his head of what cities look like. I promptly told my son that he really didn't know any West Coast cities, and that West Coast cities were different. He was determined they were the same. And so he made that move to Portland, Oregon. It didn't take him very long to realize that the West Coast city of Portland was very different than the close, kind of a non-sprawling city of Chicago, Illinois. And one night, after he had been there for a little while, he called me. It was probably around 11 o'clock his time, 3 hours difference, so somewhere around 2 o'clock a.m. in the morning for me. He called me, said, Mom, I just had to call you. And I said, okay, son. He said, Mom, I just had to call you. I'm at the club. I'm like, oh, great. You found something that you like to do. And he said, yeah, I'm at the club, and a guy just pulled up on his bicycle, and he's having it valeted. I said, what? He's having his bicycle valeted. And he's a helmet on his head. Both of us paused and then cracked up laughing. This was definitely a side that he had never seen, because he thought we were the same. I think of the story when I think of sometimes how we respond to people when we're trying to identify with them. We identify with people through our own lens. We assume people have had the same experiences that we have. Or we create experiences that people have had based on what we've read or what we've heard about on television or something, but not necessarily because we know a person. So just like my son had a certain change in his world about what the West Coast city of Portland was, we've all had moments where we've actually met someone that our preconceived notions really weren't what the real deal was at all. And that's important as we take steps towards being people of equity, towards being people that learn our own biases, that we work on being anti-racist. I really would rather say that we work on being people who see people as people. Not that we are races, black and white and Hispanic and Asian. We really aren't races, we're ethnicities, and those differences are wonderful. But we need to meet people where they are, not where we are. Here's the truth. I am a person that has a prejudice, a bias. I recognized that a long time ago when I was looking at who were the people in my life, who were my friends, and they were black and they were white, and pretty much nobody else. And I realized the people I had the most struggle with, that I actually had around in the in parts of my world that I didn't know how to reach out, were those that were Asian American. I had an image of what they were in my head that came straight from television. And I didn't know how to meet and greet people. Then I met Maria Wong. And I have a story that I tell about her, and it's called, you know, Will You Be My Asian Friend? Which is not quite what I asked her, but close enough. And she introduced me to her family, to her mother and father that came from China and immigrated over here as children. And the stories they told about the early days of being a Chinese person in this country, the laws and the changes that had to be made. As I listened to her story, their story, I realized their story has so many correlations to the African American story, and differences as well. But I got to see them as people. They were the Wong family, like I was part of the Arnold family. I realized that I went into thinking that they wouldn't want to talk to me and would see me as just something from a television show, just like I was seeing them. I realized that that bias went to a lot of different places. I didn't really read anything that talked about the differences between Asian American people. It wasn't until this year that I really understood that those people, not those, but the people that are from India are also considered Asian American. I'm still learning. But I want to learn. And so I'm vulnerable enough to put out my unknowing with the hope that I might be educated and knowing that I'm going to go and learn all I can. But I still fight it in small spaces. When the movie Parasite came out, which was highly nominated and awarded, and it was a Korean film, and I put a bias in my head immediately. Why would I be interested in something that was done by a Korean person? I immediately made assumptions. One day I confronted my assumptions and I just watched the movie and it was spectacular. So many layers of relationship and communication and hopes. I realized how much I was losing because I put thoughts in my head about what I thought people were like. And I didn't go out and find out. I think sometimes as we work on our own biases, and we all have them, all of us. I don't care what color you are, and if you say you're colorblind, then you don't see the amazing differences in humanity that were created for some reason. Maybe to give us a chance to learn how to love someone for being human, no matter where they come from. And I think that we need to sometimes go beyond our own biases. We need to step into another place. Make ourselves the minority for a little bit. Step into a place that is not as familiar. And see what it feels like. And learn that way. Have you been to an African American church or a predominantly African American church and seen and experienced worship with them? What are the television shows you watch on TV or the Netflix series that you get into? Or do you watch anything outside of your own culture, your own, who's made something, or read a book written by an author that is not of your own background and persuasion? I'm not talking just a scholarly book, but a work of fiction. Take an autobiography and read of someone who comes from a completely different background. Maybe even something translated from another language. It takes time for us to cross the borders to other places, to cross out of our own selves and not make assumptions that everyone has lived our particular kind of world, has seen the shows we've seen and lived the life we live, nor is it what sometimes the media portrays either. But it's up to us, each one of us, to walk over and meet another person. I want to leave you with that, just to walk through the things that we think are in our head and to actually go a step further. To sit at a table with a person that you don't usually sit with. To have a conversation on the bus with someone you don't usually have. Just to cross over. And then I leave you with this. Love loudly. Words of hate are usually shouted, put in big, bold letters. What if our love was just as loud, just as powerful, in big, bold letters? We say, I love this person who is different than me, and I'm willing to defend and support and be beside them no matter what. I love them because they are of the same human race I am. I love them because they are different than who I am. And I can learn from them, and I pray I can share with them my life as well. That's what this is. We're not trying to create a system of everybody sees each other just the same. We see the differences. And we learn about those differences, and we embrace some of those differences. We remove the biases we have and look for the reality of how things are. We have genuine conversations. Hear other people's stories. And share our own. That we're vulnerable enough to know that we don't know everything. And so we ask questions and we learn. And then when the time is there, each and every day, we love loudly. We shout it from the mountaintops. I will love you for being human. And I will love you for being different. I'll even love you if you bring your bicycle to the club and they valet it.
Traditionally, this is the time in our service when we pause to reflect on the gifts we have received from this abundant earth and the generous spirit of family and community. Consider what it is that we have given and what it is that we are grateful for. We take time to remember that we drink from wells we did not dig, shaded by trees we did not plant. We gratefully acknowledge those who came before us, especially the original stewards, the indigenous tribes of this land we like to claim as our own. And we hold in our hearts all those who will come after we are gone. This morning, as we hear from Janet Liu, let us also focus on the gifts that diversity brings.
I joined Wolf's Eighth Principle team because I've been a victim and a survivor of racism. I've been hurt by it. I've been afraid for my safety because of it. Once I had just bought another house in Lake Oswego and had brought my daughter to clean it and to prepare it for our move-in. A neighbor woman walked over and talked to my daughter. Later, my daughter told me, the woman had asked her if I would clean her house. Oh, I thought. I worked as a finance officer for an international corporation, and I owned several properties in the city. But to the woman, I was somebody like Hop Singh in Bonanza. When COVID hit America, anti-Asian hatred broke out into violence, verbal and physical. I read reports of insults hurled at Asians. It's because of you, this fucking virus. Go back to China. I read reports of Asians being spit at, hit, and stabbed. Adding to my horror were the responses from public officials and bystanders, either fanning the flame or apathy. I thought, this open hatred could grow, maybe repeat America's history of the murder and the driving out of Chinese that resulted in the Federal Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. I felt like a sitting duck, a target for these attacks from whites who felt superior to and hatred for other races. I looked into leaving America, moving to Canada. There were immigration barriers, but they were doable. Then I thought about my parents, leaving China to immigrate to America for a better future. I thought of Jews, desperate to escape the Nazis. Yes, it's hard to leave your home, but sometimes you have to bite the bullet. Then I realized my senior age. Can I start over in Canada? Build a social network from scratch? Figure out how to get things done? What about my daughter here in America? Finally, I decided to stay. but I resolved to become more active in raising awareness of racism. I read more about racism in America. I led discussion classes on racism and shared my Asian American racism stories with my Chinese spiritual group, with my village community. Then I learned that Wolf was starting to explore its eighth principle, to take an active anti-racist stand. I knew I wanted to add my energy.
May there be more love to liberate us all, and may we keep on today and every day until we find it and share it inch by precious inch with one another and the world.
Gonna keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Never turning back. Never turning back. Sigamos adelante, siempre adelante, siempre adelante, sin volver atrás, sin volver atrás. Gonna keep on loving both. Keep on loving boldly. Keep on loving boldly. Never turning back. Never turning back. Amaremos con pasión. Siempre con pasión. Con pasión, sin volver atrás, sin volver atrás. Gonna reach across our borders, reach across our borders, reach across our borders. Turning back, never turning back. Y vamos sin fronteras, siempre sin fronteras, siempre sin fronteras, sin volver atrás, sin volver. Familias reunidas, siempre reunidas, siempre reunidas, sin mover atrás, sin mover atrás. Gonna keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Never turning back. Never turning back. Never turning back. Never turning. Never turning back.
too.